Right. Good evening, everybody. Glad to be with you tonight. Excuse me. We'll get right into our prayer request. Brother Sue Paul called me just a little while ago and asked us to pray for his son-in-law. And his first name went blank on me, but his last name is Austin. Out in California, he has COVID. And so I was asking prayer for him, so I wanted to make sure I mention that. Continue to remember Brother Charlie and Sister Donna Faye, lifting them up in prayer. Brother Jerry, continue to pray for him and Sister Joanne. Rhonda Green, Kyle Franklin, Brother Bill and Sister Joanne Bynum. Remember Evan, Jeff Slayton, Tony Martin and Bobby Castillo. Brother Chuck and Sister Rhonda, Serena Garrett, Reverend Carl Chesser, Sister Rose's family, Sister Marlena, Jed Hess, remember him, Sister Gail, Sister Jean, and of course all of those that do have that have had COVID. Remember Brother Bill and Sister Sandy's daughter Becky, she does have COVID as well. Sister Aggie Freeman, Callie Goins. Do appreciate all the prayers for Lynetta. She's doing better, not having that migraine. Remember Jason, Sister Donna, Arnold's family. And then also remember the Decker Lee family and the Dorsey family. Lifting them up. Remembering Sister Frankie in your prayers. Sister Mary Jane, Sister Faye, Sister Twana, Brother Junior, and Sister Ruby. So lift all those up in your prayers as well. With that, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the Bible for a few minutes tonight. Don't plan on being long, and every time I say that, I go longer than I think, but don't plan on being too long with you tonight, but do want to share some encouragement, I guess I'd say, tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy and grace, and we thank you, dear God, for the blessings you give us, Lord. Thank you for this day, this hour, and opportunity we have, Lord, to be gathered together in the manner we are. And so look forward, Father, to the time that we're all gathered together in home, Lord, if not here on earth again. But Lord, we pray, Father, that you would just anoint and touch the needs according to your plan and your will. And help us accept that, Father. We pray that you would just lead us, guide us, and direct us, Father, in the way that you'd have us to go and that which you'd have us to be. And Lord, I pray tonight that you would just take, Father, meet the Lord with us as we go into your word and help us, dear God, through speech and mind, dear God, and heart. Lord, may we find tonight the strength we need to continue doing your service and doing your will. Father, we pray tonight that we would find faith that would keep us grounded and rooted. Lord, we just ask you now, Father, just to draw us close to thee and one to another. Lord, we pray tonight in Christ's holy name. And amen. Amen. I'm going to be in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 for just a few verses tonight, not many. But Ephesians chapter 3, you want to flip over there. And my Bible gives a lot of subtitles through these things, and I don't always agree with what it says, but I like this one tonight. It says, Strength Through the Spirit. And I will say tonight that something been heavy on my heart for quite a while, and so I think that that's probably why some of the messages that I've preached and lessons we've done has been focused on faith and strength and determination and that type of stuff and growth. But, you know, the church, and I will say this in general, not just into our church, but it does apply to our church. The church today seems to be getting smaller in occupation. And I say that not counting COVID, not counting sicknesses and other things that do hinder folks from being able to be in service, but smaller in occupation because it seems like folks are not as faithful to God. They're not as strong in the scriptures or in the spirit today. They are more occupied by the world in those type of things. Excuse me. And so I want us to be encouraged in God, and I want us to encourage others in God and encourage one another in the spirit and show, as you know, I try to put my words just right, show what's truly in our hearts. If in our heart is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God is living there, we want to show people the Lord. We want to show them God. And if we can't, because it's not really there, then we need to get Him in our hearts and in our lives. We need to refocus and get back. You know, I was thinking about something this evening, and I don't have time to go through all of it. But if you look in the Old Testament, every time the children of Israel turned their back on God, they went into captivity. They faced tyranny. And, you know, things just fell apart. And it took all of that to bring them back to where they needed to be with God. I think that, unfortunately, that we find ourselves in that situation today in the world and in our country. And, you know, if we're not careful, in our church, our homes. And so we need to make sure that we keep ourselves grounded and rooted in a faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and God the Father, and follow the Spirit of God so that we will be a light in a darkened world, but also that we'll be strengthening and comforting one another. And I would say this, making sure that that which is good, right, and holy, and when I say that, a true faith, a true belief, a true grounded in the Holy Ghost and the Word of God and the King James Bible, that we make sure there's always a place where folks who are going to be searching for the truth and desiring that will be able to come. And so, you know, I want us to be very mindful and very careful of those things there. But anyways, that kind of gives me the ground, gives you kind of a groundwork and the foundation for where I'm at. The things that I think about, and just seems like the Lord just really has laid that on my heart, that we've got to rebuild, and I would say this, reorganize even, you know, the church. And when I say reorganize, I'm not talking about changing things up, but it seems like we're allowing things to fall out of place, and we need to put them back in place. And then we're, you know, we've got to make sure that if something's been torn down, that we build that back according to God's word, according to God's will, and do it solely in that manner. Not trying to make anything of men and not trying to be a show, but trying to be actually a place where you can come and folks can come and we'll find the truth of God there. And so we'll be founded upon the solid foundation, which is Jesus Christ, the solid rock, in the scriptures, and we'll just be striving to do our part for the kingdom of God in this world and not letting down any of the standards that God has established. That is so important, to make sure we uphold God's standards and not our own. And so anyways, Apostle Paul writing book of Ephesians, and just look at how he starts out. I was going to jump down to verse 14, but look at how he starts out in verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Paul, his calling, we know, was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Now, Paul was called out of the ruling class, and try to put it in kind of, He was called out of the religious class into the what other folks today or then would have called the lower class. But actually, he was called out of an act of religion to a possession of the Holy Spirit of God. And in so accepting that calling, we know that in the book of Acts, the Bible says that God said to... losing my mind tonight... anyways, God said that Paul would be shown the things that he was going to suffer. And he was going to suffer them for the cause of Christ, for the Lord's sake. And so when you look at this, Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ," he's not talking about that he's bound physically so that he can't get out, but rather that he's bound spiritually so that he doesn't want to get out. And in so he says that he is this for the Gentiles. You and I are here for a purpose. And as Christians, our purpose is to see that God is glorified, serving Him in our lives and then leading others to Him. Remember, the Bible says that God said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." And then we find in Romans, it says, "How shall they hear without a preacher?" I mean, that's just the whole thing. Once we've been saved, we are supposed to tell others of the Lord. Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." It's all about making sure that we glorify God. And what I preach Sunday morning, glory to God. We get that privilege of giving glory to God. Anyways, we'll jump through here. He goes on to talk to him a little bit farther there. But anyways, I want to skip down into verse 14. And he says this. He says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." If you look at Paul and everything he's done and all that he's doing, the thing that we find here is that Paul says for this cause that he bows his knees before the Father and for of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to be bowing and worshiping, glorifying God, seeking God, seeking to do God's will, honoring God, leading folks to God, pointing out Jesus Christ, reaching out, as we'd say today, to a lost and dying world, being light in a dark place, being solidness and wishy-washy, you know, being there and just showing people Jesus and showing them the better way, strengthening those that are Christians so that they will become stronger Christians and stronger in their faith. And then they too, in turn, help others, lead them to the Lord, and then strengthen them so that we're continuously growing. And so thinking of this, but he says, "Of whom the whole body, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Those that have gone on and those that are here, we are called according to one call and one purpose, one name, right? God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, through the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost in our life. But we are all one, even though that they are there. That's why, when you think about it this way, in the book of Thessalonians chapter 4, he said, 1 Thessalonians, he said, "We will not prevent them which are asleep, for the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air." We're of this body, which is Jesus Christ. He said that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I just want to say tonight, think about this. The prayer that Paul had for those is that God would grant, would do a work in their lives according to his riches of his glory, and that in this to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man. I want to be a stronger me. And when I say that, what I'm saying is, inside this flesh, inside the core of things, you know, the Spirit of God dwells. And so in that, I want to be stronger in the Spirit. I want to be stronger in my faith. I want to be stronger in my walk. I want to be stronger in my talk. I want to be stronger in my determination. If you stop to think about it, the scripture says, "From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And so when we think about those things there, I want to be so strong inside for God, strengthened by the Spirit of God, that it just rolls on to the outside. And I can tell you tonight, church, I've got to become stronger. There's no two ways about it. I've got to become stronger in these things, and so that I can be a better me. And I'm just going to be the best me that God will have me to be. I used to compare myself to people and say, well, you know what, they're so good and I'll never get that way, or I was jealous because they were being used one way and I wasn't being used that way. There was all kinds of things there. But I determined a long time ago in growing better in it every day, because I don't tell you, sometimes it still rises up. But just to be the best me that I can be for the Lord. And in so doing, be an influence for God to others in this walk of life. And just tell them, you know what, I'm not perfect. Don't make the mistakes that I make. Telling others, you know, here's mistakes that I did make. Don't make those mistakes. Instead, do this. I learned if I'd have just done this with the Lord and followed the Lord in this way and not done that, I would have been better off. And try to tell folks, don't go down that road. Stay on the straight and narrow road of the Lord. And then in verse 17, it says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Church, I'm going to tell you, everybody wants to be loved. And here's the deal. In showing God's love doesn't always make people happy. But if we don't show them God's love, they'll never have a chance to change. But this that I know of is that the stronger the love of God is in me, the more that I'm able to love. The more that I even love myself in this aspect, that I can become stronger in that. And so I want Christ to dwell in my heart by faith and by His strength. I want Him to be evident in my life. And I'll be honest with you, you know, there are times whenever I think, boy, what did I do with the Lord today? You know, because it didn't seem like I paid as much attention to Him as I ought to. And you look back and you feel guilty for it, because you know what you need and what you want. And so then you just start trying again to seek the Lord and focus more on Him and try to become stronger in Him, so that in your heart the faith of Christ and the love of God is shed there. You know it's shed there, but it's growing there, and in so you're able to share it. If we can do that, we will start to, as I said, rebuild the church, reorganize the church, getting the things that are out of place back in place, getting the things that are broken fixed, and we'll begin to grow in the Lord and for the Lord. And in that is our hope of folks being saved. I'll be honest with you. You've got to be where you need to be in order to lead somebody there. Doesn't mean that you're perfect, because none of us will be perfect until after we leave this walk of life and we get a glorified body, that body eternal that we'll have in heaven for those who are saved and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. For those who are lost and die lost, they'll get a body that lives forever, but it won't be a glorified body. There'll be no rejoicing in hell. I'm just going to tell you, sin will take you straight to hell. Faster than anything you can think of. And if you doubt it, friend, I don't want to be in your shoes, because I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to be in the shoes of a person who just doesn't believe that sin will send them to hell. And the reason why is this. It's not the act of the sin, but the rejection of God, the rejection of Christ in committing sin and choosing sin over salvation. But anyways, I want to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. And then he says that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. I asked a guy the other day, I said, you know, why does the Bible say that God forgives us as far, you know, our sins, and that He casts them as far as the east is from the west? And he said, well, I guess because the way that He hung on the cross. I said, no. I said, stop and think about it. If you start at the North Pole and you head south, you'll get to the South Pole. When you get to the South Pole, you'll begin to head north. And so your sins would always be coming back to you. But if you'll start on the East Coast and head to the West, you can always go West. Even though you run into the East Coast, you still have never run into the ability or never stopped going West. And vice versa, if you start on the West Coast and head East, you'll come back to the West Coast eventually, but you will never stop being able to go to the East. And so God was trying to tell us that they would never catch up with us again in this aspect, so that our sins that are forgiven will not come back to us, and God is not going to bring them before us and say, look, you did all of these things, and I know I forgave you, but everything you did and stuff, but here's everything you did, and I'm going to hold it against you anyways. That's not the way God works. God does forgive us. And so I'll be honest with you, to get to the point to where you can comprehend what is the breadth and length and the depth and the height, boy, I'm telling you what, you're going to have to get into the Word. You're going to have to get in prayer, because I just tell you the truth, God does stuff in things that you and I just don't think we'll ever be able to comprehend until we get into heaven itself. The love that Jesus Christ had for us, despite the shame that we caused and the grief that we gave, is just incomprehensible. When you stop to think about it, everything that he went through and stuff, it's just hard for us because we think so much through the flesh instead of through the Spirit. And so we need to understand that tonight. So I want to grow in the Lord. I want to grow stronger in my faith. I want to be stronger in my desire as far as serving God and serving Him and loving Him. And to tell you the truth, I want to be so close to the Lord that one day, you know, I go home with Him, right? But be so close to the Lord that you would just be hard fit to tell when I'm having a bad day, because a bad day would not stick out like a sore thumb. Instead, it would be one that's just, you know, not noticed, because God is just so abundant in my life. And that's one of the things that I would love to have. And then it says, and to know the love of Christ. Church, I'm going to tell you something. I think we're still learning that in some aspects. Every one of us are, but some of us have got to this point where we know that, you know, there's just no love like Christ's love. And when you get that in your life and you realize that, you'll want to serve Him, you'll want to follow Him, you'll want to love Him, you'll want to be like Him, you'll want to tell other people of Him, you'll want to share His love and His mercy and His grace with other folks. I mean, it just changes your desires. You're no longer wanting worldly things, you're wanting godly things. And in that, it's just like I said Sunday there, the Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord and He shall give you the desires of the heart. And whenever we delight ourselves in the Lord, we understand the love of Christ and all that, then the desire of our heart is not worldly lust, but rather it's spiritual blessings, it's spiritual gifts, things that we can share with others. And those things are more abundant than we realize. We just oftentimes don't do what we need to do in order to have that. But anyways, that we may know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, and that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. I'm telling you, I just want more of God in my life. I need more of God in my life and in our home. I know that me and Lynetta, that's our desire for ourselves, that's the desire for our kids, it's the desire for our grandkids, it's the desire for our church and for our family, just to have that love of God and that desire and the fullness of God in our lives. He said, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Don't limit yourself by yourself. Rather, let God do what God wants to do. We've all heard this before. Be still and know that I am God. As Scripture says, let God be God, we said. These are all the things that we need to do. Stand still and see the power of the salvation of the Lord. Just think about it, that He will... Now, He that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. God can just, he's a mind blower, friend. And when I say that, I'm not talking about so that you're just dumbed, but rather that it's just amazing what God can do. And then how God does it. And then we stop back and we look at him and go, wow, God did that. Why did God do that for me? I'm not, you know, we'll begin to be humbled in that we're not deserving, but yet we'll understand that the reason God did it is because we desired of God, and God loves us, and he wants to do that, and he wants to do things that we can't comprehend. They're abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, it's just one of those deals there where we have to get back to the mindset of Christ, right? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. Doing that so that we know that we're loving him with all that we have, and then we'll be able to see how much he loves us, and what he does is just amazing. But he said, according to the power that worketh in us, it's letting God have his way. It's letting the Lord be what he desires to be in our lives. And when he is that, he will do things. And I'll tell you something else. We won't be thinking about worldly things that he does. We'll be thinking about the spiritual things that he does. And I'll tell you, that's what I want more than anything. I just want to see God spiritually working, not only in my life, but in the lives of those around us. And so I know that I have to get closer to the Lord. I have to be stronger in the Lord for these things to happen. And he said, and unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, I know everybody says, well, the body of Christ is the church, and I agree with that. Those that are believers are the body of Christ. They are the church. But I want to tell you something. When a bunch of the bodies get together in worship and honoring God, he'll be glorified in the church, and he'll be glorified for who he is and what he means to you and I as individuals, what he means to us as a collective body, and we will want to desire to see God move in our lives and in our homes, in our churches, in that we will want to see the Lord in the services and him having his way. It's like I said here a while back in the service, I said praying through doesn't didn't mean that people prayed and prayed and prayed till they finally got through to heaven. It was till heaven finally got through to them. And so they prayed through and till salvation. They were willing to give everything to God and follow him. So that's what we desire. But anyways, and then to take us to a world without end. I mean, the Bible tells us that heaven is eternal. And I want to be eternally with God. Hell is eternal. I don't want to be in hell because that's an eternal separation from God. So just some simplicity tonight and some things there to think about. What's the desire? What's our need? Where is the church and where should the church be going? I'm afraid we're not where we need to be, and we should be going back to the Lord to do what he would have us to do. And let him change, mold, and make us what we need to be once again so that he can be glorified in every aspect of our lives. And so you pray for me, and I'll pray for you that these things will happen in our lives and that God will be glorified in the way that God should be glorified. With that, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll close out tonight. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. We thank you, dear God, for the many blessings you give us. And we ask you, Father, Lord, tonight, just let your will be done in our lives. Lord, I pray, Father, tonight, let me be a willing vessel, Father, for your will. Lord, let me help those around us tonight. Lord, let us help be strength and light, Lord, and Father, the same with others for us, so that you're glorified. Father, we pray, Lord, that we would be set to the road that leads us ever closer to you, ever more what you'd have us to be. And so we ask you these things tonight. And Lord, we just pray again, Father, touch the needs according to your will, your plan and purpose, and help us, Father, tonight be accepted of that, but also be a participant of it, Lord, so that you're glorified. And we'll thank you, Father, we'll praise you, Father, and we'll give you glory in Jesus' holy name. And amen. Amen. God bless you until we see you again, or until we meet again this way, however it might be, or we get to be in heaven, one with another. Good night.